Hello, this is Larry Goins, and welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A call. Hope everybody's doing well, and looking forward to hearing any questions that you guys might have today. And so if anybody's on, if you want to, just if you want to announce yourself, that's fine. Some people don't like to talk. Some people do. Some people like to just listen. So anybody wants to jump in and say your name and where you're from, go ahead.
How you doing, Larry? This is Tom.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Hanging in. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. Just curious, what teams have you working now? We've tried the the HUDs, and that didn't pan out too good for us, and trying with realtors, every time we put bids in, it just gets bidded up so high it doesn't make sense for us. So we're trying, but we're not finding anything. Do you have any recommendations on what's working?
Well, first of all, I need to ask you a couple of questions.
Absolutely.
What market are you working in?
We're in Dayton, Ohio area.
Dayton, Ohio, okay. So when you say we tried HUDs, define tried.
Put lots of bids in, couldn't get them because it just, they were ridiculous, and we kept upping it a little bit, just like you had said. Started pretty low and then upped it up, and just never ended up getting anything because they'd go too high.
When you say we put in some offers, how many did you make?
Well, she was making about 30 offers a day.
For how long?
We did it for several months. I don't know how many months it was. At least three, maybe four.
Are you telling me you made 30 offers a day for 3 or 4 months?
Correct.
Or is it, okay, so you did make that many offers a day?
Yes, we did.
Okay. One of the things that we have found is the sweet spot in HUD houses are HUD houses that have been on the market 60 to 70, and even better if they've been on the market for 90 days. And you can find that at, hold on, I'm going to give you the website to go to that you can tell a lot more data in addition to HUDHomeStore.com.
We're grabbing a pen right now.
Okay, I'm going to give you the website to go to find out that data.
Okay.
And that is HUDHomeValue.com. HUDHomeValue.com. They have more data than they just pull the data from HUD, but they organize it in a better, easier to understand fashion.
Okay. Well, that's good information to. If you can start zeroing in on ones that you say are at least 60 days old, right?
Yeah, 60 to 70 days. And even up closer to 80 to 90 days, you get better deals.
Okay. Great. That's because they're dropping the price down because they're not selling them.
Right.
Okay. And so if you're starting there, Larry, then where do you start percentage-wise? Do you still start where you recommended before? I think you said 19%, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and you could that now that's the shotgun approach. Remember, those numbers I gave you, that's the shotgun approach. What I would do is I would go out and I would look at, you know, the ones that are that have been on the market 60, 70, 80, 90 days, and then look at some comps on those. You know, look, just take maybe 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 minutes and run some comps, ride the street, look at it, and see what you can pay for it. You might not need to start at 19. You might not need to start at 25. You might be able to pay 30, 40, 50, 60% of list price if you do that.
Okay.
Makes sense? The number yeah. starting at 19, that's the shotgun approach when you have a VA making an offer on every HUD house everywhere.
Tom,
Okay. Okay, okay. We'll give that a shot.
Now, on the realtor listed properties, go ahead.
No. You were going right into what I was asking. Go ahead.
Now, on the realtor listed properties, you know, there's a couple different things. How many agents are you working with?
Well, I mean, primarily one. We have a couple that we shoot some other offers to if this guy starts lagging behind, but primarily one. And we bought several properties through him in the past. I mean, 2-3 years ago, we were buying them off the multiple listings, going through him, you know, finding the bank owns. And we were getting them, and we were, you know, buying them and flipping them. But we just, and in some cases, we keep it as a rental because we have rentals. But here lately, it's just, gosh, they're bidding so high. I guess all we can think of is there's just a lot of people out there starving for properties, and they're bidding them so low that we're bidding them so high, they just want to keep their workers working or something. I don't know.
Yeah, there's some of that. Plus, you know, anytime the market starts turning around and people start talking about real estate's doing good, that's when all your other people jump in the market. So,
is that what you think's happening?
Well, that is happening. I can tell you that is happening. So
okay.
One of the things that we found that we have to do, number one, we have to make more offers. Number two, we have to widen our territory. And number three, we have to look for alternate sources of properties. Okay? So more offers is, you know, why not make an offer on every HUD house every day in Ohio? You know, you could branch out, you know, or at least within 100 miles of Dayton, which would get you over to Columbus, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, but we sure don't want to be traveling that far to deal with the property.
Columbus.
Huh?
How far is Columbus?
It's about a 50-minute drive, so it's 45 miles somewhere.
Over there, you send somebody.
Okay, all right.
You don't
that
have
sounds
to do
good.
That. Listen, we buy houses all over the Carolinas primarily. Now, we've done deals in 11 different states, but we buy houses all over the Carolinas, okay? And we have a guy that goes out every time we get an offer accepted. His sole purpose is to go out, walk through the house, take video, take pictures, every room, any repair areas, all mechanical items, all four sides of the house, a street view, anywhere there's a, you know, a stain on the ceiling, a hole in the wall, whatever it is. He's taking pictures. He puts that in a Dropbox folder so we can view that, and he writes down a scope of work, everything it's going to take to get that property in tip-top shape. And here's the other thing. He puts out a minimum of 10 bandit signs around that house, and our signs are all handwritten, so he's handwriting them. Now, we do have them pre-printed, but the only thing that's pre-printed is the word foreclosure and the phone number, but it's in a font that looks like it's handwritten. So then all he really has to do is write the address of the property and the price.
All right.
And he puts about 10 signs around every property. Now, and check this out. We have some of our properties, not all of them, but some of them. In fact, we had two last couple of weeks. I want to say last week. I think one was last week and one was the week before. But we had two properties recently that we had a buyer. In other words, we had our buyer's contract signed with us before we got the contract back from our seller. Just because we put those bandit signs out in the neighborhood. And, for example, if it's an $80,000 to $100,000 neighborhood, and you have signs out all over that say foreclosure, you know, 499 with the phone number, and and the address, and they're going to call you. Because if they know it's an $80,000 to $100,000 neighborhood and you're selling it for $49,900 or $59,900 or whatever, they know it's a deal. And we actually add a few $1,000s to it for the bandit signs. Because a lot of times we end up selling it to an owner-occupied buyer that maybe their parent, a grandparent or something is paying cash for their son or daughter or grandchild to buy that house to live in. So they'll actually pay a little bit more.
Okay. But most of these you're looking at and making offers on are needing work. Usually owner-occupieds won't get into stuff like that, as you well know.
Well, my first thought is to say, how many houses did you sell last month? But I'm not going to do that. But
no, okay. I can tell you this.
We have sold, I know we have sold at least four in the last month to owner occupants, and they were foreclosed houses that needed work.
Really? So they're jumping in and doing the work then, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. I've never been successful dealing with owner-occupieds on that, but hey, that's great.
I tell you what,
but
as soon as you get one under contract, you go out and put about 10 bandit signs out around it, and your phone is going to ring off the hook. Especially
okay.
If you put the price.
So, and are you focusing in on a certain price?
No.
Okay, so you're not necessarily looking in better areas. You're looking at any area.
I will tell you this. Last month, we've sold houses in anywhere from $161,000 down to, now this is what we paid. One house we paid $161,000, and the lowest price house we did this past month, which just closed this past Friday, we paid $12,500 and sold it for $25,000.
Okay, and most of those you're not doing work on them. You're getting somebody to bid them, and then you're selling them without work, without doing the. You're not flipping them necessarily. You're wholesaling, right?
That's exactly right. And even with the bandit signs, we don't even have to get rehab estimates. We don't give them anything. They
really?
They see the sign. They go over and look at the house. And they say yes or no, or I'll give you X for it or whatever, and that's it. We're not giving them any due diligence because they already live there. They know the area. They know the neighborhood. They go in and look at it and make a decision, and it's a cash sale.
Okay. So generally then, what discount off the list price are you offering on those properties?
Say that again?
I mean, generally speaking, I mean, do you have an idea what discount off the list price are you getting those properties at? I mean, you're offering to the buyers?
Well, we're getting them at enough of a discount where we can sell it at 70% of the ARV, which includes
okay,
purchase, so, repairs and closing costs. Like,
so you're still shooting? Okay, all right. That's what I was getting at. So you're still shooting for the standard 70%. Okay.
Yes, however, with the bandit signs, we bumped that price up a few thousand dollars, maybe $3,000 to $5,000.
Okay. Okay.
Because
okay.
What they're doing is they're looking at it. Maybe they're riding the neighborhood. Maybe they're renting or something. Or maybe, you know, they're wanting to buy a house for a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter or whatever. And they know it's an $80,000 to $100,000 neighborhood. They see a sign that says $49,900. They may not even think about that it needs repairs. You know, they're going to spend $10,000 in repairs. And now they're going to be at $60,000, you know, and they may or may not even think about that. They're just going, oh, wow, I can buy a house in this neighborhood for $49,000. And not a lot of the houses need, I mean, it's not major rehab. It's, you know, paint, carpet, you know, maybe some cabinets, countertops, vinyl floor, some landscaping. But it's not going to be major structural rehab or a full rehab, if that makes sense.
Yep, okay. And those are you were talking HUDs, right? Pretty much HUD homes that you're dealing with
it
on that?
Or
okay, anything. Okay. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you there for a second. I heard some static in the line there. Well, that sounds great, Larry. I mean, we'll give that a shot and see what happens. See if we can make something happen here. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take so much time here.
No, that's okay. It's not a problem at all. I want to make sure you get your question answered and you have some direction.
Okay, thank
but
you.
Just know you can always email me in between these calls anytime you need any help.
Yep, we know that, and we will do that.
Excellent, excellent. Cool. Anybody else have a question you want to jump in? Anybody else have anything you want to jump in there with? Anything you're working on, any questions, any concerns, anything you're trying to figure out, a challenge, whatever it is, whether it's a deal or just in general?
Well, let me ask one more thing since nobody's jumping in here, Larry.
Sure.
Have you had any problem with people breaking in and stealing things?
No.
Oh, really? Gosh, we are having such a problem with that. It's unbelievable.
Let me ask you a question. What are they stealing?
Anything that's metal related. They're obviously going for copper first, then anything with metal related. I had one rental. This was a rental, but my gosh, they took about everything they could take out of that thing. The furnace, the
water tank. You
mean to tell
you how to stop that?
Yes.
Here's how you stop that, okay?
All right.
You get you a handwritten sign, and you write on the sign, $10,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person who stole the copper in this house, and nobody will bother it.
Really?
They think it's already gone.
Oh, I got okay, $10,000 reward for anybody that has any information about who stole the copper in this house.
Right.
Okay. I love that.
That's exactly why you're on the call.
Yeah, so have you actually done that?
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, man, it works, especially, you know, you don't need to do it in every neighborhood, but if you're in, you know, certain areas that you know that you're going to have problems, you can absolutely do it.
We don't even put for rent signs up anymore just because of that reason. We don't want people to know there's something's for rent because they'll bust in and take what they can, and we've had it happen. So we just do it on Craigslist. And I mean, we get a good response just from Craigslist on renting our properties, but that's the reason we stopped putting for rent signs up. It's crazy.
You know, you can also call your local security company. Like we have CPI down here and, you know, ADT and all that. And they will give you, not give you, but they'll sell you a portable, you know, security system that could be hooked up to a cell phone. And so you can put an alarm system on all your houses if you'd like. You can even hook up cameras and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, I've talked to some people about that, and we were actually starting to investigate that. So, yeah, we have been thinking maybe of going that direction.
Good.
So we might do that.
That's good.
Any recommendation for getting rid of bad homes or getting rid of homes in bad areas if we have the mortgage?
Give me an example. Tell me about it. Do you have one in particular?
Yes. A three-bedroom, one-bath. It's three-bedroom, one-bath, and east side of Dayton. Things have been stolen out of it, and, you know, they've cut the wires, they've taken copper wiring. I mean, it's just crazy. The furnace is gone, everything, like I told you. And so we owe $34,000 on that. And as it stands, obviously, we're going to have to put about 15 to 20 in it just to get it back up and running. We don't really want to stick any more money into it. We just want to dump it.
Well, let me ask you this question. Did you have insurance where you're going to get that money back?
No, it was like just covering fire.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you need to make sure you have a policy that's going to cover theft. You know.
Yeah, they won't do that.
A builder's risk policy.
A builder's risk policy.
Builder's risk, yes.
We'll check into that.
You know, it has a vacancy rider in it where, you know, if it's vacant and all that. Well, builder's risk normally covers that, but, you know, check with your insurance company and see. Have you contacted them to see if it's covered?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't covered except for unless it was burnt down or occupied. It wasn't occupied at the time.
Oh, okay. Let me see. What would the house rent for?
$575.
But you need about 15 in work to make it rentable.
Yeah, maybe more. 15 at the minimum. I mean, it needs a furnace, it needs a hot water tank, it needs all the plumbing, it needs all, not rewired completely, but an electrician has to put all the wires back together. That's a labor issue.
I was going to say you could probably sell or finance it. You could probably sell or finance it to an investor. And you owe $34 on it, right?
Correct.
Okay. You might have to do a land contract or a wrap mortgage. Is it with a mortgage company or a private investor?
A mortgage company.
Okay. And you owe $34. What do you think it's worth?
Well, in this market, the way it stands or fixed up?
Way it is.
Yeah. 10, 15, maybe. I don't even know if it is.
Up?
What's that?
What about after ARV?
Well, if it's fixed up, 25. I mean.
So you're upside down.
Yeah, we're upside down on it. There's no question.
How would you feel about walking away from it?
Well, we've considered that. To be honest with you, we have. You know, obviously, our credit scores are good, so it trashes our credit. But we may not care at this point because it's tough to get loans anyway for us, being investors. So, as you know, I mean, it's tough. So, would we try a short sale first or something like that?
Well, you can't do a short sale unless you're behind on your payments. I am not I'm not advising you to go delinquent on your loan, but there is such thing called a strategic default. In other words, you got the money. You can make the payment, but you are defaulting intentionally so you can negotiate a short sale.
Oh, okay. And do we tell them that?
They'll be sending you letters.
So, in other words, they're going to find out we're doing it that way, or
we
respond?
They're going to send you notice of default, you know, delinquency, notice of default, all that stuff. And then when the time comes, you can say, look, you can contact them and say, look, this house is really worth about $5,000 to $10,000. You know, somebody stole the copper out of it. The heating system's gone out of it. It needs a whatever else you said, water heater or something. And
right.
And the house is worth about $5,000 to $10,000. You know, and there's no way, you know, that I'm gonna be able to keep paying it. If you want me to pay off the loan, I'll give you $5,000 and you call it even. Otherwise, you can have the house.
Okay.
Now, I'm not advising you to do that because I don't want you to come back to me and say, you know, Larry told me to stop making my payments. But I'm just saying that it is a strategy that you could consider, you know, after you do all your research and talk to your own local attorney or advisors or whoever.
So would you recommend we talk to an attorney first or a realtor or what? Or just do it?
Yes.
I mean,
all of the above.
This is Fifth Third Bank is the one that holds a mortgage on this, and they have probably 10 of our mortgages.
Well, before you do that, why don't you just contact them and tell them, here's the story. You know, look, I got a good relationship with you guys. Did they originate the loan or did they just buy the loans?
They originated it.
Well,
we were buying them years ago, right and left, and getting, you know, loan after loan with no problem. We have 12. I said 10.
Look, here's the problem. Tell them what happened. You know, hey, I got this property. I'm upside down. You know, it doesn't make sense for me to keep paying it. You know, I don't want to hurt my relationship with you guys because we got a lot of loans, but I need you to help me out on this deal. What can we do to make it equitable for both of us so I don't end up giving it back to you?
Would there be a person in the bank that you would recommend? Not, I mean, you don't know them individually, but a position in the bank that you would recommend we talk to?
The person that you dealt with when you originated the loans.
Okay. Yeah, we did have actually a pretty good relationship. My wife had a pretty good relationship with that guy because, I mean, he was doing them right and left for her. Andy was his name. So, yeah, we could get a hold of him.
That's what I would do first before you even consider the strategic default.
Okay. And maybe he could talk to somebody. All right, we'll give that a shot. If we sell this, Larry, we'll personally come down and give you a hug.
I want to hear how it goes when you put those reward signs out.
All right, we'll try that. We will try that, too. Absolutely.
That's great. Well, good. Well, I hope that helped you.
It did. It did. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had to go do that?
I did a long, long time ago, but it was on a very expensive property that I actually paid $500,000 for. And I
oh,
put
my gosh.
50, actually, I put, I think it was $550, and I put $50 down. And so I had a, no, it was $500, and I put $50 down. So I had a $450,000 loan, and I ended up, I just stopped making my payments after a while. And I ended up getting a short sale, and it was, I ended up getting a short sale, and they sent me a letter saying that if you will give us $250,000, and I owed $450,000, if you'll give us $250,000, we will mark it paid in full. And
wow.
Well, it gets better. I called them up and I said, look, this is not my primary residence. And if you take $250,000, I'm going to end up owing taxes on the difference between $250,000 and $450,000. And I'm going to end up paying about $100,000 in taxes. So if you will take $150,000, I will wire the money to your account by Friday. So he said, let me check with my supervisor. A few days later, he sent me an email and said, we will take the $150,000 as long as you have it in our account by Friday. Here's our wiring instructions. And by Friday, they had the money. And so what happened was I wired the money. Now I owned it free and clear, and I sold the property for $350,000. So I actually made money on the deal.
You're the man, Larry. That was great. That's a great deal.
Well, thank you very much.
Holy mackerel. What a deal.
Yeah, it worked out pretty good.
Now, did it ever affect your credit?
Oh, it did, yeah. But, I haven't borrowed money in a long time.
Yeah, so, I mean, you it didn't matter.
But my score is already back up in the 700s.
You know, oh, is it?
It's already, yeah, even though we did that, it's already back up in the 700s, you know, So I'm not a bit concerned about it.
Right.
Now, it
yeah.
took a while. Don't get me wrong. It took a while. But I wasn't borrowing any money anyway.
We're thinking the same thing. Now, we do have a equity line that we borrow from ourselves to, you know, get money. We've always thought about the fact, will that affect, if we did something like that, will that affect our equity line?
Well, I will tell you this. I have an equity line as well. And in my personal experience, I can't tell you about your personal experience what will happen, but with my personal experience, it did not affect it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I can't tell you whether it will or not for you, because I don't
know. Right. No, I understand. I understand. I understand.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Well, hey, that's great. Appreciate that.
You never know if you want to, after you seek local counsel.
Yes. We'll do that. Yes, we will do that.
Awesome. Cool.
Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. It's my pleasure. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else?
Yeah, Larry, are you there?
Yeah.
This is Tom out in Costa Mesa, California.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah. I've been looking at some properties in North Carolina.
I can barely hear you, Tom.
Oh, yeah, this phone, I got it there. Is that better?
That is a little better, yes. Thank you.
Volume's up all the way. I'll see what I can do.
Okay, great. I hear you better now. Thank
all right,
you.
I raised my voice. And I'm having trouble getting started in this the way I'd like to, but I'm just looking at a value of a property. It's going for $86,500, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's built in 1999, 1,092 square feet. I looked up the taxes on it. Yeah, the market value, they're giving it at $101,000. And $4,500 in repairs it needs. It's a 203K fixer. And
when you say 203K fixer,
it
must be a HUD house.
Yeah, it's a HUD house.
Okay.
And
so how much did you bid on it?
I didn't bid on it yet. I looked up the taxes, and it looks like everything's been rebuilt on it. It's got new furnace, new plumbing, and I don't know when that was put in, but it was assessed lately. Does that mean if it was assessed, if it's in that assessment, was it done recently, or could have it done?
I'm not really sure about that, but I know that if it's on HUDHomeStore.com and it's eligible for a 203K, it doesn't need a whole lot of work. Like you said, $4,500.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a HUD agent that could submit you an offer?
Not yet. I need to get one.
You can also go right to the listing agent on HUDHomeStore.com and have the listing agent submit it for you if you'd like. And they'll do it right online.
Do they need any much information from me? Or?
Yeah, they do. To submit an offer on a HUD house, they have to know the exact entity, and they have to know the tax ID number or your Social Security number if you're buying as an individual. And they need that to be able to submit the offer.
Oh, okay. They don't need much more than that then. All right.
No, as long as they trust you, because some real estate agents will say, I need a signed contract, I need a copy of a deposit check, I need a proof of funds letter or a copy of your bank statement, and then some of them will just submit it online.
Okay.
But even though all the offers are submitted online, if an agent does not know you, they may require that stuff up front, even though all offers are submitted online.
Okay. They generally sometimes want you to be pre-qualified?
Yes. Some of them do. But if you can find a buyer's agent that is willing to work with you and that knows you, trusts you, whatever, that, you know, feels comfortable with you, then you could just have them submit all your offers for you. I mean, we make hundreds of offers on HUD houses every week. So I wouldn't get too hung up on just one.
Yeah, I hear
we
you.
Make hundreds
that's
every week.
And I'm starting to see what you're doing, how you're doing that. You're just putting bids in and whatever.
Yeah. That's why I don't want you to get a false hope about one particular property, because we make hundreds to get one.
Agreed. Just like anything else.
That's it. It's a numbers game.
A numbers game, yep.
Cool. Well, I hope that helped.
Okay, yeah, that did.
Excellent. Cool. Anybody else have anything? Anybody else? Well, guys, always remember, if you need anything, you don't have to wait for these Q&A calls. You can always email me anytime you want to, larry@larrygoins.com. That's my personal email address. I will answer it for you. Make sure you put Inner Circle in the subject line. And I'm here to answer your questions and help you become successful. And like always, we really, really appreciate your business, and we look forward to hearing your success stories. And if there's anything we can do, if something's not working, hit me up. That's why I'm here. And I'm here to help you change direction, give you tips, techniques, strategies, whatever it is I can do to help you become successful. So please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Okay, guys?
Will do. Thanks, Larry.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
You too, Larry.
You too.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.